For our scripture reading, and also the passage from which the text is taken, we turn our attention to the prophecy of Zechariah, the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised this day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And then I answered and said unto him, What are those two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my lord. Then he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Thus far God's precious word to us, although this may be difficult to understand, but may the Lord make it clear to all of us, especially as we consider the text. O glorious, eternal, unchangeable, all-seeing, all-knowing, Lord God of heaven and earth, we come and know that thou art God and worship thee as such. Lord, we are creatures of the dust. We are small. We are weak. But thou art mighty. Thou art glorious. Thou art exalted above the heavens, over this earth. We worship thee as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, we have come to thy house to rejoice in what thou hast to say to us, in the fact that thou through thy word art speaking to us, teaching us, encouraging us, and that we come, Lord, to hear thy word, and we pray especially for the powerful working of thy Holy Spirit this morning. We thank thee, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit is poured out into thy church, and that thou, O Lord Jesus, on the right hand of the Father, are doing that for us. That thou art coming with thy Holy Spirit to make dead souls alive, and to equip and empower those who are serving thee. And Lord, we pray that today then also might be a day in which we rejoice in the work of Jesus Christ among us, and see that work. And Lord, we thank thee that he is that great office bearer, that prophet to teach us when we are ignorant or when we are out of the way, and that great priest to atone for our sins. When we have such a load of guilt by nature laying upon our backs. But thou, O Lord, art the one who by thy blood and by thy cross are able to take them all away, to show us thy gracious love and thy kindness and thy patience and thy forgiveness to us. Do so, Lord, through the power of thy word. Lord, we thank thee that he is that great king, the ruler of all, who's given all power, all authority, all might, and that he rules in the heavens, and that he rules in the hearts of thy people. O Lord, rule in our lives today. Make Christ glorious. Make thyself glorious, O Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank thee that thou, as that King of thy church, hast gathered to be with us to give unto thy church office bearers. What a gift that is. A gift from heaven. A gift of love. A gift to show that thou hast not finished thy work among us. A gift to show that thou art gracious. To show that thou art the good shepherd. To seek those who are lost. To seek those who are wandering. To heal the brokenhearted. To bind up those who have wounds. O Lord, we thank thee for that gift of office bearers. And we pray for our dear brothers this morning. We pray that they would, through this message, learn to, more than ever, trust in thee. And trust in the power of thy Spirit. And Lord, we pray particularly that thou wouldst fill them with thy Holy Spirit. Through thy word, through thy testimony. And not only us, Lord, not only them, but also us as a congregation, that we would be Spirit-filled, that we would see revival, that we would see reformation, that thou wouldst give that to each one of us, to each of our families. Come, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank thee for bringing us together in thy house, and we pray that today might be a day of the Lord, which we offer thanks to the Lord, offer our praises to the Lord, offer ourselves to the Lord, and set this day apart, and that there might be great rejoicing today in thy word, in thy Savior, in the gospel, and through Jesus Christ alone. Lord, we come together also to bring our petitions and to confess our sins. We confess, O Lord, that we are often tempted to look away from thee, to let our eyes go to the things of this world, and to trust those things instead of thee, the living God. Lord, we confess that our hearts are by nature idolaters. And we pray then, Lord, blessed Lord, tear every idol from the throne. Search us and know us, so that the power of the Spirit can do its fullest work through us. And so that Jesus Christ would be visible in us. Forgive us our sins of this past week. Forgive us, Lord, when we have not trusted thee. Forgive us, Lord, when we have looked away from thy almighty power. Wash us afresh. And Lord, we come with thanksgiving. We thank thee that we could hear about Stillwater having received a building permit. We thank thee, Lord, that we can worship together in freedom. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art speaking to us through thy word, teaching us to trust in thee alone. We thank thee, Lord, also for an engagement this past week from Yella Quintenberg and Laura Sheely. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art continuing to build thy church among us. We pray for the catechism classes, that they would be also moments in which our children learn and graciously drink in the truth of thy word. We pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst do mighty works for us, that thou wouldst go before us and do what we can do, that we would see sinners saved, that we would see those who are dead in trespasses and sins stand up straight and loving and filled with thy Spirit and filled with a zeal for the Lord. Lord, we come also aware of the fact that we are in a world that is broken, that is full of sin, in which many have gone astray, in which there is wars and rumors of wars. And Lord, we desire to delight in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And when we hear wars and rumors of wars, Lord, we pray that we would hear in those the steps of our beloved Jesus Christ, who will one day bring worldwide peace on the day of judgment, on that terrible day of the Lord, on that awesome day of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that each one would be found on the right side of him, on his right hand, and have peace already now in our souls. And that if that is not the case, O Lord, come and bless us. Bless us with thy grace. Lord, we wait for thee. We wait what thou hast to say to us. Help us in our singing. Help us in our giving. Help us in our listening. Take away all distractions. And may we say, indeed, an experience, not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit. Speak, O Lord, and may it be so that thy servants hear. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there can be mountains of impossibility in our lives. There can be mountains of impossibility rising maybe right in front of you. And we all have experienced that. Impossibility, that you're overwhelmed and you think, how am I going to do this? Yeah, maybe because the new year, and you think ahead, and you see these mountains towering over you. I don't know what they are. Maybe, brothers, as you begin the office again, or for the first time, you see those mountains of impossibility raised before you, or as a family, raising your children, they can be mountains of impossibility. How should I do this and how should I do that? Your job, young people at school, as the schools are going to start again, mountains of impossibility. We all have them in some way. Zerubbabel had them too. Zerubbabel was charged by the Lord with the rebuilding of the temple of the Lord. After the exile, he was the one appointed by the Lord to build this temple. And what he saw was mountains of impossibility. There were practical impossibilities because the temple was in ruins and Jerusalem was not rebuilt yet. There were political difficulties in his days. There were spiritual difficulties. There were these mountains of impossibilities. Now, our mountains are often maybe a little different. Some are related to what Zerubbabel faced. But they can only be coming a plain, where the Lord makes them all flat. In the same way as they became a plain to Zerubbabel. And that's what our text says. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. And so our text comes from Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so as we listen to this text, we see that it is basically saying to us that we need to do the Lord's work
We need to always, Lord, work, whether we raise our family, whether we go to school, whether we do anything else. We are to be the servants of the Lord because that's what He created us for. We need to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. And that is, first of all, then, not by might. What does that mean? We're going to discover that in our first thought. Then not, nor by power. What does that mean? And how does that apply to us? But by my Spirit. What does that teach us? So let me set the context for you, because it's not an easy chapter when we read it. I grant that. Zerubbabel then was the one who was charged with the rebuilding of the temple. And people around him were saying, well, you know, it's the day of small things. Zechariah was the prophet in those days. He wrote this prophecy. He is then charged with encouraging Zerubbabel. And the Lord does that by a vision. So he is awake. He was sleeping, we read in the first verse. And then the Lord awakes him, an angel of the Lord awakes him. And he shows him things while he is awake that other people don't see. What does he see, children? What does he see? He sees lampstands. And he doesn't understand it. What is this all about? And he says, what are these? And then he receives later on, he receives an answer in verses 11, verse 14. And then it explains and says, well, those lampstands are the people of God, but especially it explains there are these two trees that are connected to those lampstands that funnel oil into this lampstand. And those two trees are the servants of the Lord. And they are supplied by a constant stream of the Holy Spirit, of the oil that flows into this lampstand. And so that is how this temple is going to be built. Through a constant flow of the Holy Spirit, through His servants, to the congregation. Not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit. Now, we could already make an application to our lives today. We have a world around us that is promoting big things. Your home, your life, your study, your career, everything needs to be big. And even that sometimes can settle into our minds in such a way that we think the church needs to be about big things. And that can be dangerous for our spiritual life, because God often works through a steady stream of oils into His church through the Holy Spirit. We need to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. And if we don't do that, what do we get? The church is, the world is going to look at the church, and what do they see? They see, well, that church is just like a business, or that church is just like a social club. They help each other, good and well. But can people see the power of the Holy Spirit on display in our church and in our lives? Or do they see more like, oh, those people are pretty much like us. They trust in the same ways on things that we trust in. They trust in the works of the flesh. So, we need to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. And this passage this morning takes us, as it were, by the hand. How does that work? How does it really work that God comes with His empowering grace and builds His kingdom? And we look at it and say, it's not my work. It's the Lord's work. So our text says, Zechariah 4, verse 6b, it says there, not by might. First of all, what is that? What does that mean? Not by might. It means that we are not to trust in the might of a big group. Zerubbabel, let's look at his life. He had all these threats and all these difficulties to overcome. He could say, well, I need a lot of military so that the building project is kept safe. Or, I need a lot of men to do this and that and the other thing. Because I see from the scriptures that Solomon had a huge crowd. And there were many who build that temple. And we need to build that temple too, in the same way. But now God comes to him in this word and says, no, Zerubbabel, don't trust in putting together workforces. Don't trust in rallying people together. Expect it only from the Spirit of God. And that's the way how you are going to finish this building project, this temple building. Lord's work needs to be done in the Lord's way, not by the power of many. Now, Zerubbabel was a godly man, and he also wanted to have godly men. There's nothing wrong to have godly men around us in this work. And we are very thankful for godly men that God has given to us as a church. As Zerubbabel had godly men around him, he lived in the times of Ezra, Nehemiah, and these men were really fervent men of God, men of prayer. Read their books. You will notice that they were full of zeal for the Lord, but also full of prayer for the Lord, to the Lord. What is God saying to Zerubbabel in this text? Well, you might have godly men around you, but don't trust in them. Don't trust in them. Trust in the Lord. As Zerubbabel could read his Old Testament, and he knew his scriptures because he was a godly man, and must have read about that one project, that first project that in the scriptures where we read about, they thought bigger was better. Let's stay together. What are we talking about? Tower of Babel. It's successful when we are with many people and it's safe. But in the meantime, they were defying God. Because they were thinking, let's make a name for ourselves lest we be scattered. He could read about that, Zerubbabel, and we all can read about that. Can't we? And we can have this feeling like those people building the tower. Together we are strong. And what was the problem with the Tower of Babel? We can do it. We can do it. And God comes down and says, no, you can't do it. Confusion. What was God saying? Not by might, but by my Spirit. It's not in the numbers. Don't look at the numbers. Well, Zerubbabel could read his Old Testament and see another example of that. Gideon. Do you remember, children? Gideon. He was to fight the Midianites, and there was a huge army of Midianites coming. And it was threatening. And so he calls all the soldiers together. He gets 32,000 soldiers. That's a lot of soldiers. And then God comes, no, there are too many. Too many. And God comes with these testings. Everyone who's afraid, go home. Everyone who drinks from the hand, instead of bowing down, and let him go. How many people were left? 300. Only 300. Why? God tells us why. God tells us in that history why he sent away so many. That we would not be boasting in their might. Because it says there, to Gideon, the Lord says, that you would not say, our hand has saved us. And we can think also of David, children. Do you remember David? David was thinking, well, There are all these enemies, and I have some rest. Now let's see if I can number how many soldiers I have. And Job said, no, that's not good. Don't do it. But he went on in his pride, and he said, let's do it. What did the Lord do? He came with his punishment to his people. And the numbers changed, and all the counting was in vain, and it was changed. It was useless. The same as what we have here, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And that says the Lord of hosts teaches where we have to put our trust this morning. Not in the number of people. The Lord of hosts. Who is the Lord of hosts? What does it mean? What does the name mean? It means that he is the Lord Zabaoth. That means he's in charge of all the armies of heaven. All the angels are under his control. He has this innumerable company of angels, and he is fighting the battle through his angels, and yes, also through human servants, but through the many angels that he has as well. So why then trust in might? When God says to us, well, if you have me, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. Trust me. Trust me. And God had said to Haggai, who was the prophet also in the days of Zechariah, he had said to Haggai that his spirit would be among the people. He said this in Haggai 2 verse 5b, my spirit remains among you. What a comfort must that have been for Zerubbabel. What a comfort that is for us when we hear those words and we say, Lord, remain among us. And then it says, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Those are the words that God spoke through Haggai, who was an older prophet, and Zechariah was a younger prophet. And they could know these words. And we should know these words, and we should rest in these words. My spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. Now how does all this apply to us this morning? Well, young people, are you sometimes looking like, okay, if this one is my friend and that one is my friend and that one is my friend, then it's good. If I have a group of friends, then I feel safe. I feel accepted. God says, no. You need to be accepted by me. That's the most important thing first. Then you're safe. Trusting in groups, or where do we do that? We can even do that in our consistory. We have so many men. And yes, they might have power and wisdom, and maybe we think, okay, well, we need some cleverness there. But God says, no, not by might. You come and pray. Let's pray. Let's pray them full so that they can do their work in the power of the Spirit. How can we be trusting in might? That when we think, well, bigger is better. When we think, okay, well, let's do a head count here for a moment. We look at our group activities and the things we do. Remember the people who are in attendance for activities, maybe even the Lord's Supper. Is that what we are focusing on? Or are we focusing, by the grace of God, on this work of the Spirit? And we can trust, and when God says to us, not by might, we can trust in our methods. If we do this and that, then we will have a favorable outcome. Really? But the other churches do it like this. And we need to do it X, Y, and Z. Like them. What are we focusing on? On the Lord and His might? Or on our might? Or are we focusing, by the grace of God, of being faithful to the Word of God? We can trust in might when we think, well, let's get busy. Let's get busy. Let's do things. But that's not always necessarily godliness, because busyness can be a facade for not really trusting the Lord, but trusting might. What are our motives? The Lord looks at our heart. What drives us? What really drives us? Is it the Spirit of God, the Word of God, or is it our pleasure? I want this. God looks at us and say, I want to see godliness. I want you to trust my power, the power of my Spirit this morning, and the power of my Word. Dear congregation, I hope that we all can say, well, Lord, help me to not trust in might. Not trust in the numbers. Not trust in bigger is better. Not trust in group activities. But there's another thing that God says to us that we are not to trust in. What is it? There's something else that we can trust in. What does it say here? What does it look like? Power, he says. Power. Our text says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And this power is strength and ability of just one person. When might says, well, we can do it, power says, I can do it. And this comes to Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel is a godly person. He was a godly person, a talented man. And there's still this temptation, it teaches us, that there's still this temptation to trust in self. He was a successful leader. We read in the scriptures about Zerubbabel that he led the people back from exile out of Babylon. He laid this foundation of the temple. There was all kinds of things to show for him. He built this altar, he appointed Levites, and he did it according to the law of Moses. So all those things, you would say, well, that is really a godly man. He was even aware of opponents, we read in Ezra, to the work. He surrounded himself with these godly prophets, and the Lord really blessed that work of Zerubbabel. He did. And to this man, this godly man, the prophet Zechariah needs to come and say this, not by power, but by my Spirit. And brothers, doesn't that show us also something? Not by power, not by what I can do, what I can accomplish. We have such a need, don't we, for humility. We can read the Bible and we can read all those examples where there is such a temptation to expect it somehow from ourselves. And Zerubbabel might have even known Nebuchadnezzar. He knew perhaps what happened. When he looked at this great Babylon and he was walking on his garden and he said, oh, this great Babylon, it's what I have done. Isn't there a temptation in all of our hearts? What did God do? He became an ox, he ate grass. God tells us this morning, there's no place for pride in my kingdom. If God humbles a Nebuchadnezzar in a worldly kingdom, how much more is that needed in the kingdom of God? And God says to us this morning, do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. That's so important. We can so easily trust in me, and that's trusting in power. We can so easily trust in others. And God says, no, don't do that. Trust not in man, nor in princes. There's no help in them. And we come to the New Testament and we come, for instance, to 1 Corinthians 3, and Paul speaks there very clearly. People were looking to their leaders and they were trusting in their leaders. And Paul says, you know what it is? He calls it in 1 Corinthians 3:19, he calls it worldly wisdom. They were boasting in their leaders. They said, well, I'm of Paulus, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. How are we to look to our leaders this morning? How are we to look at these men chosen by God to lead us as a congregation? We need to look at it like this. In verse 7 he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We need to look beyond man. He is the one who uses man. Yes, absolutely. But we are nothings. To a certain extent, we are nothings. We are not the thing, says here. So then neither is he that planteth anything, but God. So let us not this morning trust in giftedness, in graces, in ideas for our church, for our lives. But let's make our lives focused on the God who can do far exceedingly abundantly above what we pray. It is easy to think, I can do this. It's all around in the culture around us. Social media is constantly promoting, I can do this. And in that way we are being taught in this world around us to take up non-spiritual weapons to fight the battle. And we can come to the church and we can think, this is how it should work in our church too. And then we come with our own agendas, we come and we try to manipulate things in the way this one, or we look to personality and to personal charisma and all that. And that's what the world does. We shouldn't do that here in the church. God says to us this morning, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And it's still relevant for us. And we fight this battle with spiritual weapons. I came across a very convicting quote in the preparation of this sermon. It says this, we can be so busy, and then it says this, doing seemingly Christian things out of an inward desire for honor or praise, for leadership, for power or money, for a desire not to be disturbed, or for a desire to be proved right in our past decisions, is a vain thing. I say that again. Doing seemingly Christian things out of a desire of what? Honor and praise, leadership, power, money, ease, desire not to be disturbed, or I was wrong in the past and now I'm going to show that I'm right, is a vain thing. An inward love of power or love of any of these things makes it impossible, this quote says, that our motive is right before God, no matter how we may talk with our lips. That's conflicting, isn't it? The Lord wants us to have these pure motives. Not honor and praise, not leadership, not power and money, not desire to be at ease. Not, I'm right, and everyone needs to see it. Not by might, nor by power, saith the Lord. Children, you've never, maybe not, most of you have never been in Paris, right? In Paris there is a statue. It's a statue of Napoleon. And if you have seen a picture of that, you know how he stands. He stands, has his hand in his coat, and he has this proud posture, saying basically, I did it, I'm doing this, I will be doing this. That's what the world thinks about themselves. That's what the world thinks about themselves. That's not the way in the church. Not by power, but by my Spirit. How do we then need to do the Lord's work in the Lord, the Lord's work in the Lord's way? Well, God teaches us that we are to build on a foundation. What is the foundation? It's the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And God looks how we build on this foundation. He sees it. He tests our motives. He goes to the difficult things in our heart. Those sins. And in 1 Corinthians 3, we turn back to that for a moment. It says there, now if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to see it. What are we building with? What materials have we been using? Was it worldly wisdom? Or was it the power of the Spirit? God will see it. And it says then, it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's humbling. God is going to see it, going to expose it, and burn away everything that is not right. We are not to trust in might, not to trust in power. Now, if you're here this morning and you are not in Jesus Christ, you're an unbeliever, to a certain extent we can blame you. Your heart is attached to these things, might and power. That's what your heart gravitates toward. And we can't blame people outside in the world that they are doing that. But we can blame people in the church who are believers, who know the power of the Spirit in their own lives, who have been changed, but are still clinging to these things, to might and power. Because the Lord over and over comes to us and says, don't trust in these things. Don't even begin in the Spirit and then try to do it with your own might and with your own power. Galatians speaks about that. You are to do everything you do, whether you do it in your family, in the church, or at school, at work, everything, you need to learn to take up the spiritual weapons I give you. Because if you don't, there's going to be a lack of spiritual power. So, an example, children, or parents rather, you sometimes might have a conflict with your child. How do you respond? Do you become angry as well? Do you become frustrated? Do you lose your patience? And do you then say, oh, this is how it needs to go? Now, of course, we hope to hear tonight about parents of authority and all that. But are we using spiritual weapons or fleshly weapons? Are we displaying the power of the Spirit, love, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, and all that? Or are we saying, needs to happen, no matter what? That's an example for parenting, but that comes to every sphere of life. How do we do it? What kind of weapons do we use? Spiritual weapons? Trust in self? What is it? I hope this becomes clear to us. Because when we trust in those weapons, we have all these mountains in front of us, and they can be so overwhelming. But God wants to make those mountains plains for us this morning. By trusting in Him, by trusting in the weapons that He gives. And so the Lord says to us, I will take you by the hand. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Let's look at that after we sing. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Using those spiritual weapons, as we saw already. And what a promise to Zerubbabel. Verse 9 says that he laid the foundation. And then verse 7 says he is going to finish the work by the power of his Spirit. Now, this vision is all about it. It's about this candlestick, the community, the church that is supplied by the oil of the Holy Spirit. Those trees, we read and we understand, are the servants of God who are empowered, and they literally, in the Hebrew, they are called the sons of oil. So they have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit works in every believer. When we come to faith, and He makes us alive, He gives us the Holy Spirit. But what this is speaking about is that special empowerment for the service of the Lord that He gives to His servants. The work of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we call it unction. It's needed for your office. Needed the Holy Spirit in our lives, yes. In parenting, you need that. When you go to school, you need that. When you're a teacher, when you're working, when you're trying to be a good neighbor, you need the Holy Spirit, all that. But especially in the church office, we need the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, the same chapter we have been talking about earlier, it says there about the people, the servants of God, they are laborers together with the Lord. So they become co-laborers. Yes, they, to a certain extent, they do not anything because God is going to give the growth. Yeah, we water, yes. But we labor alongside with the Lord, and it's especially when we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we become fellow workers, and then we desire to build this house. What is it? The temple or the church? The spiritual house. We want to see what? Living stones added to this building. What does that mean? Believers. Those who are made alive through the power of Jesus Christ. Have you been made alive? That's the desire of this, of the consistory, of these men, that we would see more people come alive out of their deadness and see the beauty of Jesus Christ. That you are taken out of Adam and planted on this sure foundation your whole life. I trust in Jesus Christ and His blood and righteousness alone. He is my cornerstone. He is the foundation of my life. And then we don't want to build with hay and stubble, might and power. No, we desperately need the Holy Spirit. And in the church, then, everything becomes about Jesus Christ, not about people. It becomes about Jesus Christ and that He gets glory to Himself by saving people. And who is Jesus Christ? Let's look at Him for a moment. He's the one who was filled with the Holy Spirit perfectly. All the days of His life, we remembered Christmas. What did we hear? Mary was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when you would see Him, you would not see might or power necessarily. You would see a humble man. A humble man. But what was inside? God saw it. God saw the perfection of His Son. And He said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." He was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what He did at baptism, right? Remember? Dove came down. Father said, "This is my beloved Son. I'm pleased with Him." And then, what does it say? Right after, He was led by the Holy Spirit, where? Into temptation. Into the wilderness, to be tempted. What was He tempted with? He was tempted with might. Children, do you see Him standing there upon the pinnacle? "Just jump down," Satan said. "You will gather a crowd. You will gather a crowd." He was tempted to use His power. Make some bread of those of those stones over there. You're hungry, right? He was tempted to abuse his power and to do miracles for his own glory rather than for the glory of the Father. And he resisted steadfast. He knew the word. He was empowered by the Spirit. He resisted. We see him empowered by the Holy Spirit in Gethsemane. He's crawling. Is that what it looked like to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Crawling like a worm and no man. His disciples, he couldn't trust in their might. He drank that cup alone. And he crawls there over the ground and he's obedient. He's obedient. He didn't trust in his own pleasure. I'm looking up against bearing the cross, yes. He recoils, as it were, inwardly. But what does he pray? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. But he prays it in these words. Not my will be done, but thine, O Lord. Why? It's the contrast to what we want. We want to say, we did it. I did it. The Lord Jesus comes this morning and shows us this is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not my will be done, but thine, O Lord. And come, bear that same kind of cross behind me. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. Submit to him at all times. All times. And that's what happened to the foundation stone of this temple. Jesus Christ, who is the foundation of the temple, that living temple that is going to be built. What happened? He was rejected. Suffering, bleeding, dying on the cross. Does that look like empowered by the Spirit? Suffering the wrath of God, and yes, it was. He was not trusting in his might. He was not trusting in his might when they mocked him. So he come from the cross. He was not trusting in his own power. He was not trusting in popularity. He was rejected. He was embracing weakness. He was embracing rejection. What an opposite of how we naturally think, don't you think? Now, if he needs this kind of power, if he displays the work of the Holy Spirit in this way, how much more do we? Young people, what are we trusting in? What are you trusting in? In power, in might, in popularity? Or are you trusting that everything that happens in your life is going to bring you to be more like Jesus Christ? But we all know that he did not only suffer. He ascended into heaven. And what did he do then? He sits there. To what? To pour out his power upon his church. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. Teach. Baptize. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, how does it work? How does that empowerment work? God says, yes, come, pray. Pray for it. Wait and I will give it. Wait and I will give it. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. How do we receive the power? Empty hands. Lord, fill me. Fill me. And the Lord didn't make them ashamed. Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what you and I need to. When we desire to build, not with hay, wood, and stubble, but with spiritual weapons. So what does it look like? It doesn't always look like the impressive and the big. It looks like being faithful in the little things right now. That's what Zechariah shows about Zerubbabel in verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. God is saying here, Zerubbabel, I'm seeing you when you just hold the plumb line for a moment. What is that? It's not very spectacular, is it? Holding the plumb line. But God says, I see you. I see you. The eyes of the Lord go run to and fro through the whole earth. With those seven, there's probably Holy Spirit. I see it. I notice it. However small it is. What an encouragement for us this morning. When you say, well, I'm not able to do big things for the Lord. Well, here it is. All the plumb line for the Lord. For the glory of the Lord. Even when you're unseen. Do it for the Lord. What does it mean? Prayerful submission. We look at Christ and we hear Him say those words, not my will, but thy will be done. How we need this. Praying for the Holy Spirit. What does it look like? Often it looks like weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Because the Lord is teaching us a lesson. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Abide in me and I in you, so will you bear much fruit. I want the glory for myself. And sometimes it looks like waiting. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do now? Sometimes it looks like that. Maybe we don't like it. But we need to understand that the Lord can do far greater things in a short time than what we can do with all our power, might and power together. He can do it in just a moment. And so we are waiting, we are trusting, we are hoping, we are putting our trust faithfully in Jesus Christ, and we are looking for guidance. Lord, help us so that we would build with spiritual weapons and not with the weapons of the flesh. Last year, you have all received a little book, or at least if you are part of our congregation. It's a book called We Would See Jesus. It was written by Roy Hassian. And he has a beautiful example. I would advise you all to read it, to pick up and read, because it's very helpful. It's very encouraging. And there was a group of people revived before in Africa, and now they had come to a plateauing and spiritual coldness, as it were. And then there came a zealous man from outside, and he came to this group and said, well, yeah, you are not evangelizing the next town. No wonder that you are not being blessed by the Lord. Get busy. And the answer of the leader was, you're right. You're right. We are not spiritually where we should be. And he said this. I think it's a wise answer. We have been repenting of our coldness and sin. But we are not going to start striving in our own might and power to bring the blessing back. What he understood was that from a position of rest where we are fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit, resting in Jesus Christ, not in our own works, not in our own doings, not in everything that we can come up with, there is power. And the Lord made them not ashamed, because what happened next was that God poured out His Holy Spirit and they were full. What was happening? They were evangelizing. They were overflowing. Not by might, bigger is better. Not by power, personal strength. But by the Spirit, when we depend, when we wait for God, when we cry out to God, and when we crawl on our knees and say, Lord, come with the Holy Spirit. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. That's how how we do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. So let's return to those mountains for a moment. They became plains for Zerubbabel. That temple God built is because God did it. God did it. And Zerubbabel and all the people were rejoicing. We see that in the next verse, verse 7. And the top stone, the last stone, is laid on the temple. And what do the people do? They say, grace, grace unto it. It's only because of God's grace that this temple is going to be built. Now that's a small picture of what's happening in a far larger scale over this whole world when God is building His church. And building it stone by stone, when He makes people alive. And a living stone is added, and another living stone is added, and this temple becomes a glorious building. And there will be a celebration, there will be rejoicing. And how will that rejoicing sound? It will sound like grace, grace to it. All the glory is to the King who sits on the throne. The Lamb who was slaughtered for our redemption. Who sent His Spirit to us. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto Thy name be glory given. Oh, what a day. What a day. When we will be rejoicing. And when eternity breaks upon us. When the glory of the Lord shines around us. When we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice with Him forever. And as we heard last Sunday, we sing that song of Moses and the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb which was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing. That's the perspective. What a glorious perspective. Are you part of that? Of this building, living stone? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you looking with eager anticipation that this earth would be filled with all the glory of God? As the waters cover the sea. Well then, listen to this word. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen.